leftovers and you're still eating leftovers and you just had a good time with family. I feel like I need to confess my Thanksgiving faux pas with you. I made a big mistake this Thanksgiving season. I made it the whole two Thanksgiving, well, one technically wasn't Thanksgiving, but one Thanksgiving meal, whole Thanksgiving season, no pumpkin pie. I know, not one piece. And that's like the best, a pumpkin pie, you get a pumpkin pie, and then you get the whipped cream that's as tall as a pumpkin pie, and that's like that perfection right there. And I don't know why, it just slipped me. We had it, there was one there at Melissa's parents, and so I don't know what happened. I messed up, so I'm confessing my sins before you this morning. I'm sorry I let you down as your pastor, not having pumpkin pie, but I did not, and so it was rough, but we enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed your family. Hope you got to see friends and family and everybody together, and so I'm glad to be back. It was a fast and furious trip, but I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to see all you guys. I'm glad to see Josh up there. I'm glad, still praying for you and Jet there, and so we're just glad that everyone's together. And so this is a special time. From now to the end of the year, it's going to go like that. Like, you're going to blink, and it's going to be over. And you're like, no, I'm just serious. Like this morning, we're standing back there, and Pastor Mark's talking to me, and it dawns on me we have something significant happened in Tuesday night that I'm not prepared for. And so it's like, okay, we're here in December, and before you know it, December's gonna be over. So what I'm saying is enjoy December as much as you can. And I want to encourage you. I want to let you know we're gonna do something this year that we haven't done since we've been the lead pastors here at Brighton, and we're gonna have a Christmas Eve service this year. And so I know some are excited for it, some are like, well, that's when we do all our Christmas Eve stuff. And so listen, there's no pressure at all, but I'm just telling you, we're having one. It won't be a long, drawn out. It'd be a shortened service, but we think it's on Wednesday, and so we think this is going to be a very special time. Bring your family or leave your family home and come, whatever you want, but it's just so special if we stop the Christmas season and just focus on the Lord for a few moments, and that's what we want to do here in our service. And so that Wednesday, Christmas Eve, we have a short service for you, and so we invite you out. We're excited about it. We hope you're excited about it, and we hope that you come out and join us in that, because we believe it's going to be a special time of just honoring the Lord and really celebrating what we're doing here at Christmas time. And so this morning, we're going to continue something we started last week. And so last week, we talked about a subject that really doesn't get talked about a lot. We talked about something that we don't focus on it because we just don't want to acknowledge that part of our lives. And it's something I think that we all do that we don't acknowledge it. And I ended last week, if you were with us last week, I ended with a story about our dog. Okay, we have now, living with us for almost a year, a dog, and I'm a little embarrassed to say the breed, but it's a Labradoodle. I don't know how they come up with this, but I guess a lab and a doodle, and you know the rest. And so now we got a lab, a doodle, right? And so this thing is huge. He's big. He's curly. He's fluffy. I mean, he's awesome, right? Somewhere along the road, though, he's learned this habit is anytime you get ice out of the refrigerator. One of my daughters, I'm not saying which one, but one of my daughters, Emma, would give him a piece of ice, and he would just... You know, it's kind of cute to hear him crunching, and, you know, he just loves it. So anytime he hears the ice machine goes, he comes running. And it's funny, the other day, I got up early. Everybody's still asleep, so I got up early. I'm headed to the gym, and our fridge has two ice makers on it, which we're in heaven now because it's like, you know, those 44 Stanleys are just stupidest things ever, but Every time they leave the house, they got to be filled with ice, so it's kind of obnoxious. So you don't have. But now we got plenty of ice, right? So the other day, I pull out the bottom drawer. I think I'm going to be sneaky. I want some ice for my water bottle, and so it's ridiculous what I'm doing to avoid the dog. But I'm like pushing cubes in, like I'm trying to be quiet. I look up, and right there, staring at me, is this dog. I'm like, how did you hear that? Somehow he heard me getting ice, and he wants a piece. And so now what we do at our house is we feed him one. Every time you pay the boomer tax is what it's called, because he wants a piece of ice. And so what we talked about last week is that's like the enemy. The enemy, anytime we take our eyes off the Lord and we focus on our situation, our problem, we focus on our fears, we focus on our anxiety, as soon as you do that, it's like the devil is right there. You got to pay a tax. And a good friend, Bob, was telling me last week, he goes, I think the devil knows the sound of my ice maker. I think it's the same way for every one of us. And in that moment, when we turn our eyes, we focus on our fears or our anxiety or whatever we're going through, the devil's there to say, hey, I want part of that. And so we keep our eyes on those things. And so last week, what we challenge you with is something very practical, but it's hard to do. We challenge you that, hey, let's starve our fears. Let's starve our anxiety. Let's starve our doubts. And instead of giving that tax, instead of doing that, we're going to focus on building our faith. And so we're going to focus on Scripture. We're going to pour Scripture into our lives. We're going to let Scripture build us up. And so today, I want to just kind of continue that thought. We'll start a Christmas series next week. But I want to continue that thought about how do we do this with Scripture. Last week was a lot about self and ourselves, focusing on our fears, our anxieties, our doubts, and changing our perspective. This week, we're going to change our perspective. We're going to talk about self, but we're also going to talk about others today. I don't know if you noticed, but everyone that you come across is facing some type of battle in their life. Just about everyone is going through something. And here's the thing, it may not be obvious from the outside, but they're battling on the inside. And today, I want us to understand that we have no idea. You have no idea what God might do through one single word of encouragement. You have no idea how God could use that, how you offer one single word of encouragement. God would use that for hope for somebody, to build somebody's faith. I mean, think about what God could do with one single word of encouragement. You know, you see how many things God did through the Bible and one person spoke one word? So now imagine what God could do with your little word of encouragement in somebody's life. Because the reality is that everyone you see is facing a battle that you know nothing about. Think about it. I mean, there's so much negativity in our world. You can't open social media without being discouraged. You so open up social media at Thanksgiving time, so-and-so is on a cruise. You're like, how in the world? Like, they got season passes to a cruise ship? I mean, I don't understand this. And we're driving all night to Oklahoma. I'm like, what's wrong with this picture? We stayed at the campgrounds in Oklahoma. That was a joy. Those little twin-sized beds that are hard as a rock, and you're like, what am I doing? Why am I not cruising somewhere right now, right? And so you open up this social media, and all you feel is depressed. You turn on the news, and it's the same thing. The world's ending. And you can't help but to get depressed. And society today is so critical and so hateful. I think it's time, as we as believers, we step in and lift others up. We step in, we bring words of hope, we bring words of encouragement, and we don't be friends like Job had. You remember Job? He had some awesome friends, didn't he? I mean, he had the opposite of what you want for friends. Job was a dude in the Old Testament. He's a really good guy, a great believer, a godly man. Satan comes along. Some of you know that Satan started attacking Job, robbed Job of more things than you could ever imagine. And some of you might even remember what his friends did. His friends, they got all up in his business, and they're like, hey, it's your fault. You deserve it. you're going through this because your sin. I mean, their friend, his so-called friends were like negative, negative, negative. Come on, there's enough people in the world like that today, isn't there? I love Job's response. Job was just straight with them. I mean, Job had a little bit of Paul in him, I think, because Job responded in Job 16:2. He said, I've heard all this before. And then he said this, what miserable comforters you are. Anybody have friends like that? Don't you want to say, next time somebody starts negative on you, hey, what miserable comforter you are. That showed them up, wouldn't it? They won't know what to think then. They're like, what? There'll be all kinds of confused. And then he says this in verse 3. He says, this is awesome. Won't you ever stop blowing hot air? What makes you keep on talking? Don't you want to say that to some people sometimes? What makes you keep talking? Shut up. Is that too honest? I'm sorry. I mean, you ever feel that way? You ever want to say to somebody, why do you keep blowing hot air? He goes on to tell them what he would do in their place. He's like, this is what I would do if I was your friend. He said, if it were me, I'd speak words of life. If it were me, I'd try to encourage you. I mean, what Job is saying is, if it's at all possible, I would love to be the greatest voice of encouragement in your life. Why? Because the words we speak are filled with power. Your words are going to do one or two things in people's lives. Your words are going to build somebody up, or they're going to tear somebody down. What do you want it to be? Scripture tells us that in Proverbs 18:21. It says, a tongue has the power of life and death. As believers, we should strive to have our words build faith, to strengthen confidence in others, to let them know that God is for them, that He's with them, that God will never leave them, that God never will forsake them, that He's working in them. That needs to be our goal as believers. Why? Because you don't know what they're facing. You don't know the battle they're going through. You're like, oh, Pastor, we know this. Why ain't we doing this? The people, come on, don't get me started. I'll stick to my notes because I'll get in trouble. But Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 3:13 says what? Encourage one another. He doesn't say every now and then. He says encourage one another how often? Daily. Daily, you're supposed to encourage people. Daily, not just every 6 months. You check it off the list. He says daily, you're encouraging as long as it's called today. Guess what? When you get tomorrow, what's tomorrow going to be called? Today. So every day is what he's saying. Every day, as long as it's called today. Why? Well, I love this part. Why should we encourage each other daily? So that none of you be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Okay, so that makes you wonder, what does sin do? Sin lies. Sin destroys. Sin distracts. Sin tears you down. Sin tells you what you don't have. Sin tells you you can never be happy. Sin tells you how you won't measure up. And I'm sure I'm not the only one in here, but I face discouragement every single day. The voices in my head that says, oh, you're not good enough. Oh, you'll never be good. Oh, you'll never be measure up. Oh, you'll never be as good as this person. Come on, there's not one day that goes by that I don't experience some kind of discouragement or negativity, negative voices in my mind. So I know I need encouragement. Since I know I'm not alone, that means I should freely give it, doesn't it? Like, if this is something I need in my life, I should be that to somebody else in my life. I need to be an encourager in their life. I need to freely give it because I assume you probably need it too. Therefore, we're going to encourage one another daily as long as it's called a day so we're not distracted by sin's deceitfulness. Think about that. I'm going to encourage you, because it's saying if I don't encourage you, you might get distracted by sin's deceitfulness. You might start listening to those negative voices in your head saying you'll never measure up. You're not good enough. Oh, you're not smart enough. You're not pretty. You'll start listening to those. But if you have somebody in your life speaking positive, speaking hope, speaking joy, and can I say speaking it without any buts in it? We love to speak positively, but some of y'all like to use that but word. Oh man, you did such a good job. Just stop right there. Don't say but. You say but, I'm walking away. You did such a good job. But. You're so smart. But. Don't do it. Just be an encourager. And I know some of you guys, here's an argument you're going to come back with. Well, Pastor, I'm just not naturally gifted at it. I've got a great friend. He's here today, Andy Estrella. He is like the top encourager I've ever met in my life. I mean, any one of y'all need encouragement, just go talk to Andy for 5 minutes. He will pour into you. You're like, well, I'm not gifted like Andy is. I'm not good at encouraging others. It's a natural for me. Can I ask, any of you come out of the womb walking? No. You didn't know how to walk. It wasn't natural for you. You'd never done it before. But guess what happened? You started walking. Was it pretty at first? Absolutely not. Some of you look like you're doing a DWI walk there for a little bit until you got, you know, until you got figured out what you're doing. None of us were good at it. We fell sometimes, but we got back up. What I'm telling you is the most valuable tool you and I can have is a gift of encouragement. Learn how to do it. Make it a priority. You want to learn how to do it? Number one thing, don't overcomplicate it. Use a KISS method. Anybody knows a KISS method? Keep it simple, stupid. Here's a KISS method for being encouraging to somebody. You think something good, you say it. I know, I just blew your minds right there, right? You think something good, you say it. The moment you think anything positive about somebody, text them, call them, let them know. You know those little mobile devices? I'm pretty sure some of them still make phone calls. You can actually call somebody. Hey, I was just thinking of you. I was thinking that time you did this. It was awesome. That's the type of encouragement we need. The moment you think something, you say it. Why in the world would you ever rob somebody from a blessing that goes unspoken? One of the best things you can do for any relationship, you should bless them with words of encouragement. Think about how different your relationships could be if every time you thought something good, you shared it. That should be our goal as believers. Our goal should be to instill spiritual confidence in those around us. Our goal should not be to let unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, but to build everybody up. Why? Because everyone you see is fighting a battle you don't know about. Come on, this could change and revolutionize your marriage. Those of you who are not married yet or hope to be one day, listen, if you build your spouse up, it's a game changer. Can I just tell you this morning, I'm able to do what I'm able to do because Melissa believes in me. She tells me she does. There's no way I'd be where I'm at without her. There's no way I would ever thought to go after a master's degree without her telling me that I could do it. She could have spoken words to me such as, oh, you know, you're not the brightest light bulb in the bunch, so. She could have said things like, I'm not sure college is for you. But she did it. She said the opposite. She goes, I know you could do it. There was never no doubt. There was a lot of doubt in my mind. There's never no doubt in her mind that I could do it. Some of you ladies out there, well, you know, my husband, you're in a group, you're at Thanksgiving dinner, and my husband is not the spiritual head of my home. He's sitting there listening to that. Guess what? He's not going to be. He's not going to be spiritual head because you just spoke that over him. He's like, I ain't even going to try. Guess what happens, though, at Thanksgiving dinner? He says, you know what? I'll pray. He says, Lord, bless this food. Amen. You know what you do as a spouse? That was the best prayer ever. I mean, you just gloat over him. You just encourage him. And now what would that do to his life? You see how that would encourage, that would build him up. Instead of you speaking negativity, oh, my husband, don't do this. Oh, my husband, would you say something nice? It goes both ways. I'm not just getting on the wives here. It goes both ways. I understand. I'm just showing you. In every relationship, if you pull out something good and speak to that goodness, that's going to encourage them. That's going to make them do things they don't know they can do. And you're going to pull that out of them. Because I'm telling you, every time you say something, every time you build them up, what you do is you encourage what you want to see. And when you encourage what you want to see, you're typically going to see more of it. Think something good, you say it. I'm telling you, in a world full of so much criticism, so much hatred, so much disappointment, so much negativities, as believers, we lift up others around us. That's what we're called to do. Okay, so since everyone's facing a battle, we don't know anything about it. This includes you. I know this includes me. Because I found sometimes that the person that needs the most encouragement is often me. And you might find the person that needs the most encouragement at times is often you. Because sometimes what we do is we look around and we're like, oh man, they've got it all together. And what you don't know is they may be smiling on the outside, but inside they're hurting. You may be a lot of people who look really confident, but the truth is there are parts of you that are insecure. Because sometimes the person that really needs to be encouraged is you. So I want to show you someone in the scripture that we can relate to. I love this story. Anybody remembers David in the Bible? Well, we forget sometimes David was a warrior as well as a king. One time David's out. They're fighting. His army comes back home to Ziklag. And what happens is the enemy had burned their entire city to the ground. It was in ruins. And can you imagine coming back with your troops, your men, and what you find is your wives and your children have been kidnapped, taken away, your homes burned to the ground. So there's a picture. The city's in flames. The families are gone. And what do the men do? They blame David. All of a sudden, they're crying, they're wailing. The men decided it's David's fault. We're going to make him pay. We're going to put him to death. And that's exactly what we see potentially happening in 1 Samuel 36. Look at it with me. David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters. And they began to talk of stoning him. So what do? Look at the end of, I didn't add all of verse 6, but look at the end, and I apologize for the color. It's just a little too much. But the end of that says what David did. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. They said David, some of you say David found strength in the Lord. King James says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Think about that for a second. He encouraged himself in the Lord. It's like he did some self-talk there. He said, so he built himself up. He said, okay, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm at. And this is what I could focus on, or I could encourage myself. So he spoke to himself. He told himself of the faithfulness of God. He reminded himself about the goodness of God. He reminded himself of the provision of God. He encouraged himself in all the things of God. And when everything was said and done, He built himself, and look what it says in verse 8. Then David asked the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. When did this word of victory come to David? After David encouraged himself in the things of God. So what do we know? We know that positive words are so difficult to remember, and the negative ones are so difficult to forget, don't we? Anybody else like this? You'll have 10 people come up, they'll give me a compliment, oh, that was good, that was wonderful, this. And then one person comes up with a but word. Oh, that was good, but, and it throws a backhanded jab, a criticism, and it wrecks everything. Can I just tell you that? For real, for like the next 3 days, that one statement's all I'm thinking about. You know what that is? Because neurologists, they'll tell you that the brain is almost predisposed to believe in the negative immediately. Neurologist says it takes a full 15 seconds of focus on anything positive before you start to believe it. So instantly you remember the negative. You got to be kind of talked into the positive, is what they're saying. That's why what we say to ourselves matters more than you can imagine. Your self-talk or words of life, words of faith, words of death, or words of happiness or hopelessness. Depends on what you do. So it said David encouraged himself. David built himself. David was good at this. Three other times, David talked to himself in the exact same situation. Three different places in Scripture, David asked himself, why are you so downcast, on my soul? Why are you hurting? Why are you so low? Why are you so down? Why are you so down? Anybody here can relate to that? Why are you feeling so down? Why are you battling with anxiety? Why you have this fear overwhelming you? These were the conversations David was having with himself. And instead of staying there, what David did every time was David encouraged himself. You see it in Psalm 42:11. He encouraged himself. How did he encourage himself? Look at this. Why am I so discouraged? Why am I my heart so sad? This is how he encouraged himself. I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, my God. Why are you so depressed? Why are you so down? Put your hope in God. Put your faith in God. Put your trust in God. He's never going to leave you. He's completely for you. Sometimes you say, well, you got to do some self-talk. You got to do some self-encouragement. People take that the wrong way. You notice what David didn't say? This self-talk, David didn't say, oh, you got this, David. He didn't say, you got what it takes, David. No. What did David say in his self-talk and his encouragement? He said, put your hope in God. And so what happened was, he sees this. He said, why am I so discouraged? Why am I so sad? So he's looking at this. He's looking at this situation. Why am I so sad? Why am I got anxiety? Why am I got fear? He goes, no. You know what, David? You know what you're going to do? You're going to put your hope in God. I'm going to put my hope in God. I'm not going to think about it. This is the self-talk I'm talking about. I'm going to put my hope in God. I'm going to put my trust in God. And so whenever you look on the news and everything coming to the end, the world's ending and we're never going to recover, here's what we're going to encourage ourselves. We're going to say things like, my God is my provider. My God is my protector. My God is good. He is all powerful. He is ever present. My God is working all things to bring about good to those who are called by him and live according to his purpose. That's what I'm going to do. I want the worship team to come on up. When those voices start talking in your head, those voices are telling you you're worthless. Those voices are telling you you're never going to have anything meaningful. We're going to encourage ourselves. We're going to say things like, no, my God is working in me, and I trust God. He's working in the people around me. whenever you find yourself down, when you ever find yourself depressed, when you ever find yourself afraid, we're going to tell ourselves, no weapon formed against me will ever prosper. We're going to do some encouraging. We're going to do some preaching to ourselves. We're going to talk to ourselves with things like, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. We're going to encourage ourselves by saying, you know what? My sins have been forgiven. I am redeemed. I am a child of the living God. I am a joint heir of Jesus Christ. I am free from the power of sin and death. I am filled with the very Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. I want to say things like, I am His workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus to do good things. I'm going to say things like, you know what? I am a conqueror in Christ Jesus. When that self-doubt, that negativity that starts talking, I'm going to encourage myself. So I'm going to say, you know what? I can do all things. How many things? All things through Christ who gives me strength. Why so downcast my soul? Why are people of faith walking around acting like we ain't got no power? Listen, because of what God did for us, and because of who He is, we'll be a voice of encouragement. We'll be a voice of faith. When the world seems so polarized, we'll express love, we'll express grace. We'll stand for what's right. We'll stand for justice. We'll be people of faith, and they will know us what? They will know us by our love. And why shouldn't you and I be the biggest voice of encouragement to anyone that's ever seen this side of heaven? Whatever you're going through, I would guess for some of you it might be a lot. I just want to tell you this morning, be encouraged. Would you stand with us? You walked in here, you're going through something. Be encouraged. Why? Our God loves you more than you could ever imagine. Be encouraged because our God understands your pain. Be encouraged because His word is true. He's always faithful. His promises are for you. So when you're down, encourage yourselves with words of faith, words of life. When people around you, every time you think of something good, say it. But I'm going to encourage those around me. I'm going to speak words of life. I'm going to leave those but out of it, okay? Just but out of it, okay? Just speak encouraging words of life and stop right there. You and your group, friends group, and y'all's talking, y'all sharing, you da, 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 but no. Start calling people out. I give you permission. Start calling people out. When they say something good and they go with a butt, you say, nope. I'm walking away. I'm just going to take the good. I'm not going to hear the worst. Listen, last week, this week, it's about building our faith. And these simple things, the last 2 weeks, these are just silly things. But it's the way the enemy attacks us. Because if the enemy can get you to wallow around in that self-doubt, that self-pity, and oh, woe is me, the enemy wins. Because the enemy does not want you to know and quote the promises of God. Because when you start using scripture, come on, somebody, it's powerful. You start using scripture, it should fire you up. It should do something in you like, yeah, I know I'm not, but I know I am because I know the I am. And that makes all the difference in my life. I know I'm not the brightest light bulb in the bunch, but guess what? I know who is. I know His promises for me. I know I'm just a knucklehead, but I know that it says I'm His knucklehead. He created me. He's got a purpose for me. He's got a plan. He formed me. He just molded me. He looked at me and said, oh, I got a special thing for that one. He did that for every one of us, and the enemy does not want you to focus on that. The enemy wants you to focus on your deficiencies. Oh, I'm not this, I'm not that. I'm never going to get a boyfriend. I'm never going to get a girlfriend. I don't look like they do. I don't act like they do. I'm not outgoing like that person. I'm not this, I'm not that. And the enemy wants you to stay there and live there. He wants to learn to encourage ourselves. I want you to learn to speak life into yourself. I want you to learn to go to your friend. Speak life into them. Say, man, I saw you play the guitar. That was pretty awesome. Was that hard? No. Did that take a lot of effort? No. But it lifts that person up. Is that not what we're called to be as brothers and sisters in Christ? They will know us by our what? Love. This morning, I'll repeat what I said last week. I know I'm always calling you to the altars. I'm not going to apologize for it. Because it does something in you. Because you can hide and you can be content in your seat. But when you pop out, it's like you're committing. It's like you got a little skin in the game. And this is the way I want to end the service. There's two ways. There's two altar calls. The first one will be this. If you're in the middle of a battle, you're in the middle of a struggle, you need encouragement. I want you to come down. I want you to come down with the intent. Say, God, starting today, I'm going to speak words of life over myself, not words of death. Lord, today, I'm not going to focus on the negative. I'm going to starve the fear. I'm going to starve the anxiety. And I'm going to feed my faith starting today. Here's a second one. This should apply to everybody. The second one is this. Will you commit today to be a better encourager to those around you? Would you commit today to speaking words of life over your spouse? Words of life over your kids. You're going to stop saying things like, you're always going to be this way. That's negative. Don't speak that on them. You're going to speak words of life over them. And if you will commit to that, that's for you today. Worship team's going to leave. We're going to lead us. We're going to open up these altars. You can do it in your seat. Yes. There's something to stepping out and committing. It makes a difference. Bow your heads with us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray this morning. God, I pray you rise up an army of encouragers, Lord. God, I pray if there's anyone in here this morning, God, they walked in with a lot of negativity in their life, God. They're walking in with a lot of fear. They walked in with a lot of anxiety. Lord, I pray they come today and they say, no more. I will not listen to the lies of the enemy. I'm going to stand on the promises of God today. Lord, I commit to living a life of encouragement. Would you come? If that's you, would you come? There'll be people to pray with you. I guarantee you'll not be alone. Would you commit to the Lord today? I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop feeding my fears. I'm going to stop feeding my anxiety. I'm going to lean on you and your promises. The second one is this. If today, if you would commit to be an encourager, to be an encourager. Everywhere I go, Lord, I'm going to commit to be an encourager. Everywhere, everybody I bump into, I'm going to commit to be an encourager. Would you come? Would you tell the Lord today, Lord, I commit to be an encourager. I commit to being used by you to spread words of life, words of love, words of hope, words of encouragement, Lord. That's me. That's me. Would you come? Would you come this morning? Make it a place of the altar.